Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
That was so enjoyable. I really like that. It's probably been about 3 weeks ago. I used Judah as an illustration to do the Rubik's Cube, and the goal was to beat 2 minutes, and he didn't do it, and he kind of embarrassed the legacy of the family here. So he's been doubling down, tripling down, and he said, "Dad, can I have a moment of redemption?" He was trying to beat 2 minutes, and he did 2 minutes and 20 seconds. This morning he was doing it, what were you, like 40 seconds? You think he can beat it? I think he can. So Judah, come on down here. We're going to try this thing again. And it was 2 minutes was the goal. Do you still want 2 minutes as the goal, or should we go, what? You're going to try to beat 1 minute this time. All right, so I'm just going to mix this guy up here real good. Anybody know how to solve a Rubik's Cube out there? No? Just change the stickers. Yeah, Tracy. Hey, Tracy's got his hand up there. Let's take a minute for Tracy, the student of the month at Madison Grant. Come on, man. Not messing around. There it is. We even got a picture of you, brother. All right. I think this is thoroughly mixed up right now. Okay, Miss Kathy, you got a timer? I'm sorry. I kind of sprung this on you. All right. Here we go. We're going to see if we can. He wants to beat a minute. Okay, on your mark. Are you ready? I'm so nervous right now. I don't know about you, but I'm so nervous. Get set. Everybody else out here is so nervous. Go. That's right, get the algorithm, that's right. I have no idea, it's like you're speaking in tongues. Come on, baby. Done. How much? 45 seconds. Are you kidding me right now? Come on, brother. Can't wait to visit you at Harvard one day. That was awesome, buddy. Very cool. Hey, you're more than welcome to stay, or you can go learn that Christmas play upstairs. What do you think? Good decision. All right. Ah. Family, I want to do something this morning because we have been, Olivia, I'm sorry. Did all the kids go upstairs? They did? Good job, Olivia. I'll tell you this, soaking in the scriptures makes you better. Spending time in the presence of Jesus conforms you more to the image of his son. And so this morning, I want us to have an experience together this morning. More than just me preaching and you listening. I want to go on an experience this morning. John Starkey mentioned in his prayer just a little earlier ago how he learned from, he moved from learning as a child to learning as an adult. And there's sometimes different stages of learning. And for some, you know, just a lecture-style teaching is a way to learn. For others, they're more kinetic learners. They need to learn by action and by doing. And this morning, I want to learn by kind of modeling and doing together. It's kind of a new approach just this morning. But we're going to experience a devotional time together this morning. Is that cool? Can we just all have a really fun family devotional time? And instead of preaching, I want to just read scriptures to you. And I want to prophesy scriptures over you as if this is our family and this is the word of the Lord being spoken and declared over our family. The word prophecy simply means speaking the words of the Lord. And so we're going to read the words of the Lord. And I want to also model to you how I do some of my devotional time. And so hopefully it's something that you also can start doing at your own house, in your car, in your kitchen, bedroom, office, wherever it is that you do that. To set the pace or to set the mood, I believe that music is powerful. I believe that God, from creation, had some sort of a supernatural needle that he injected music with extra testosterone or, I don't know, with what, steroids. It's just so much more powerful for me whenever music is playing. However, sometimes the worship song, as far as the lyrics of it, might be distracting. It might take my thoughts a different way. So sometimes I'll actually just play like a music pad. Anybody familiar with what a pad is? It's just like a keyboard that just kind of holds a note for an extended amount of time, and it just kind of moves in and out of these long, extended notes, but it creates an ambiance and an atmosphere that is so enjoyable, and it helps center my spirit. And so we're going to play just a little bit of that this morning. So, Kathy, if you've got that. So this is how I come into my Bible time, my soaking time in the presence. I've got my table. This isn't my table here, but I'll just come up to my table. And I'll make a cup of coffee. I'll tell Alexa to get busy. And it just kind of creates some atmosphere. And so I'll bring my Bible. Maybe I'll have my journal. And I'll sit. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why specifically this morning I want to do this. Is anybody experiencing any sort of stressors or anxieties in this day and age? In the last couple months, our anxieties can be going bonkers and through the roof. Whenever there's not clarity, it creates confusion. I think there's a lot of confusion in front of us, in our lives, in our country, perhaps even in our marriage, in our home, our kids. Maybe in your own life, you're going back to school and you're pursuing a different job, who knows what. But I refuse to allow anxiety to run my life. It's not going to do it. So, I get in the presence. God is not confused. He does not run the world in massive confusion. So I've got to get recentered in a place with the mind of God. And so maybe for you it's a table. Maybe it's a couch. Maybe it's on your drive to work and it's the cab of your car. And you just create some ambiance and some atmosphere. Maybe it's you get that 30-minute lunch break and you know that hidden hallway where you can kind of sneak away at work and you find that spot. I don't know where it is. But for me, many times, it's my table. This is going to be peaceful and enjoyable. And this time is really designed just to model for you that we could all, right now, let's just be like a sponge. Can we just open up our spirits that we would be like a sponge in the presence of the Lord? And we would just soak in the presence. I want this time to be so healing for us. I want this to be experiential worship. This is really kind of some of what the early Quakers would do, is they would just sit in the presence and just believe that the Spirit would begin to talk to them. You know, we could pray for you individually, or we could just spend a disproportionate amount of time getting healed in the presence, where the Holy Spirit comes in and does what he does best. Soaking that this morning. So we're just going to breathe. We're going to relax. We're going to enjoy. And also, this is recorded this morning. And so this could be something that you reflect back on. And this could be a devotional for you for weeks to come, for months to come. As you're relaxing, there's just one rule: no snoring. Don't get so comfortable. But let's just begin to soak. Let's begin to center our spirits here. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So right now, God, we just ask you that we would come to your presence. Jesus, I just cast the cares of my day at your feet. As I look at my week, all the demands and the stressors and pressors, I just throw them at your feet. Jesus, I take all of the weight and I set it at the throne of Christ. I thank you that you care for me. And then I just start reading the scripture back to Jesus. I'll just remind him of what he said. Jesus, I thank you that you care for me. I thank you that you're not the God of anxiety. You're the God of peace. Thank you that I come before you and I cast all my cares upon you. And family, I would just encourage you, don't allow the enemy to rip you off of this moment, because he's going to equally contend for your attention right now. This is some spiritual warfare, just sitting in the presence. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of this moment, because this is going to be really, really good for you. We're going to get better. Philippians 4:7, it's the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. God, we just ask the peace of God would reign and rule. God, that it would blow past our understanding. We don't even understand. It seems like all of chaos is going on around us. We don't even understand why we live with so much peace. It's the Prince of Peace. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's the Prince of Peace. For some of you going through depressive seasons, it's been so heavy. Depression and isolation is sitting in. The Prince of Peace has never left you. He's sitting right beside you. Cast all your anxiety upon him. You're worried about your future? He's the author of your future. Turn to him. You're worried about your relationships? He's so good at relationships. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. I was reading earlier this week in my Bible in Exodus chapter 33. This tells the story of Moses. In Exodus 33, it says that they would set up camp, and then Moses would take another tent outside of the camp. And this was called the Tent of Meeting. And Moses would just sit there and he would meet with God. And it said that whenever Moses would go into the tent, all the people of the community would come to the foot door of their tent, and they would look out and watch the man of God as he went in. And as he was praying to the Lord in the tent of meeting, clouds from heaven would come down in the form of a pillar of a cloud in front of the doorway of the tent of meeting. And all the people began to worship. And Moses had this encounter with God in Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." This word presence is a capital P, as if it's a proper noun, as if it's a person, as if it's a tangible thing. My capital P presence will go before you and give you rest. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, I don't know that we pause enough for that. God is talking to Moses as he's talking to a friend. He's just talking to him in the presence. And if the voice of God is not clear, I would just encourage you to spend some more time there in his presence, which is all we're doing right now. There's not a different place to go. It's just your couch. It's your kitchen table. It's your car. It's wherever you can find some time. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." God wants to show his mercy in his presence. Your tent of meeting can be anything. I hope for some of our farmers, your tent of meeting these last couple months have been your tractor. That in the midst of doing, you're also just being with him. And God, this morning, we just want to be with you. Just breathe. Oh, God, we just breathe in your presence. We trust you. God says, "I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you." God, I'm asking for your goodness to go before me in my job. God, I'm asking for your goodness to go before me with my children. God, I'm asking for your goodness to go before our community. God, I'm asking that you would pass your goodness in front of our school board. God, I'm asking that you would show how good you are to our town. God, we ask that the goodness of God would reign over my family. Lord, I ask you that you would have your goodness on my finances. Lord, we pray that good thinking would operate my mind. God, I ask you that goodness would reign and rule in my heart. God, I ask you that goodness would be extended toward my neighbor. You know, the goodness of God is the nature of God. And we just want the nature and the attributes of God to reign in this church. God, we ask that your goodness would rain down and saturate the soil of our hearts. God, those that have been hard towards you, we pray that your goodness would soften. Perhaps you've got some things that you're working out with God. You're like, "God, rip me off. God's not good. God's not faithful." God, I pray right now that it's your kindness that would lead us to repentance, and we would see that you are good. He's good. He's good. You know all the trouble that you got in that he delivered you from? He's good. You know all the times that we got into, probably it should have been more trouble, but he steadied his hand? He's good. Even in the hardship, he has proven that he's good and that he's faithful. God, we ask the same question as Moses. Would you show us your glory? And Lord, I pray by your glory, you just shine down goodness. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "I pray that the eyes of my heart," check this out, "that I would see with the eyes of my heart." How about that? "That the eyes of my heart would be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people." God, I ask you that I would see the way that you see. Lord, I pray that my eyes would see the way that you see, that I wouldn't see the way that the world sees. I wouldn't see through the lens of all the news outlets, that I wouldn't see as my bitter uncle sees, the way that my frustrated neighbor sees. God, I pray that I would see the way of a holy, perfect, and all-powerful God sees. And God, that my eyes would be enlightened. God, lift my eyes, that I would see a bright new day. Lord, that I would see the hope of my calling. God, I pray for our church family that you would make clear our call. Let me see clearly, Lord. Let me see the hope of my calling. God, let me see your holy people, that you've saved them as an inheritance for you. Here's something else I do, church, is I pray over my dreams. I pray over the time that I'm asleep, because this is 8 hours that I'm missing out on being with him. And yet he's so powerful to not ever let me skip a beat. And so I just pray, God, that you would be here. And this is what I do. God, just be here in this room as I sleep tonight. I pray over my kids and their dreams. God, I pray that you would give them dreams and visions of you, that they would just, even while they're sleeping, they have encounters with your good, good presence. God, we ask you for no nightmares. We ask you for night encounters. God, I pray over my wife that she would have ministers of fire, angels ascending and descending, just like you did with Jacob. Even while she's sleeping, angels are coming and encountering. God, allow us to get more work done even while we're asleep than while we're awake. You're a supernatural God. Guys, that might seem so wild to you, but it's just a simple prayer, and we're asking for supernatural things to encounter with the Lord. So even while I sleep, there's another 8 hours of my day that I'm totally at peace. Wouldn't you love just to increase peace by 33% in your day? God, even when I'm asleep, I pray that you would minister to my weary soul. That place that's so stressed out, it's so anxious filled, it's just sucking wind and it's tired. Bring your peace. Lord, I pray for witty inventions, for creative ideas. Even when I'm asleep, you put these dreams in me. I'm like, oh my gosh, what if? What if we tried it this way? What if we would do it this way? Even while I'm asleep, God, you disciple my mind. I want my heart to be clean. God, I want my heart to be clean before you. As David said, God, you know me. You know my thoughts from afar off. You know my words even before they're on my tongue. God, you know my coming and my going. Search my heart, oh God. God, I pray that you would cleanse me. I'm done living with the weight of the past hurt and former offense. Just kind of take your heart before the Lord in the presence and just say, God, there's just so much heaviness in my heart. I've been so hurt. Gosh, those words are still stuck like arrows in my heart. I just felt the Holy Spirit. Y'all, God wants to heal right now. And the enemy wants to rip you off of this time. So press in just a little bit, family. Just hang. Just hang here for a little bit. Lord, we pray for healing in our heart that's so wounded. That person that's hurt you, maybe you even just need to say their name. You just say, Doug, I forgive you. Sarah, I forgive you. For those words, for those actions. We need our hearts whole and clean. In Colossians 3:13, it says, forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. He's a good God and he's forgiven us. And so now we just need to extend forgiveness. I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to extend forgiveness than it is to live polluted. It's really hard to live polluted. It's hard to breathe in there. It's hard to breathe inside of that soul that you have. It's so dinged. Today might be a one-time forgiving. You might have to walk it out for weeks and months of saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. Forgiveness truly is an action. It's a choice. Whether you feel it or not, you make a choice. I'm just going to obey you, God. I'm going to have to trust you on this one because I'm not feeling it. I'm still hurt. I'm still hurting. But I'm going to obey you. I choose to forgive. Jesus would say it this way in Matthew 6:15. If you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. Oh, Jesus, that puts fear in my heart. A holy fear, I come before you, Lord, and I want you to forgive me. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me in the same way I forgive others. That person that took that money, the person that took a family member, that person who physically abused me, sexually, mentally abused. God, I pray that you would come in and heal that place inside my heart right now and allow me to extend forgiveness the way that you've forgiven me. The enemy hates that one, people. He does. This is how we win. This is how we gain ground right here. This is how we get better. Let's be more like Jesus. Father, let my tongue speak words of life to those that are around me. Let me speak blessings and not curses. God, I want to be a life giver everywhere I go. I want to be the number one encourager in the room, God. Father, allow me to be an encourager. I pray, let me be an encourager, Jesus. I want to encourage my community. I want to lift the heads of the downtrodden. Lord, I pray that I would have words to speak to the hopeless. Jesus, use my tongue. I surrender it to you. Not my will and not my words, but your will and your words be done. God, help me bite my tongue when I need to. I surrender it, Lord. I shouldn't say that. God, help me have that tongue have resurrecting life power inside of that muscle. Let that be the muscle that changes my community. Speaking life. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's just come to a place of joy in him. Jesus, I want my spirit to just be saturated. I just got a picture of a crock pot right now. Just a roast. Sitting and soaking and marinating, being softened in the presence of this crock pot. And God, you can just put us in the crock pot presence of Jesus. It's kind of funny, but we can just soak in there for a little bit. This is a good devotional time right here. We come into your presence where there's no confusion, there's no worry, anxiety, there's no stress, there's no negativity. Hey family, there's not a negative thought in God. There's no negativity in God. There's no negativity in his presence. There's no curses. There's no ill will. He is for you. Not against you. And he's good. And we come into this presence where right at his extended hand, there's pleasure forever. Lord, I ask you that we would just fix our eyes upon the pleasures of God. Lord, I pray that my life would be a pleasure to you. And Lord, I want to live in a way that I get the maximum pleasure out of you. Joy is your strength, church. The joy of the Lord is our strength for living. Stress is not a good strength. Being ticked off is not a good strength. It depletes you. Worry depletes you. Corrie Ten Boom says that worry doesn't add any strength for today. Worrying about tomorrow only depletes your strength for today. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Worry about tomorrow is just carrying 2 days at once. Let's just carry today. And today is a day of grace. Today is a day of presence. Today is a day of joy. Let us fix our eyes on this God who is anointed with the oil of joy. He's anointed with the oil of gladness. Can you get an image with me? Seeing Jesus seated on his throne and someone coming, dumping oil upon his head as it runs down his hair. It soaks in his beard. It's soaked on his collar. Jesus is soaked, and the oil that he is soaked in is the oil of gladness. He's not mostly mad. He's not mostly sad. He's mostly glad. He's a glad, happy God. Can you switch the image in your mind of Jesus being perpetually ticked off? He's a guide by your side. He's walking through this thing with you. He's not stoic. He's not disconnected. He's not frowning. He is in love, and he smiles a lot. The more that you live in the face of Jesus, the more your eyes are fixed on his smile. And I just want to encourage you, fix your focus. You're looking at the problems. That's no fun. Fix your focus. Look on the problem solver. Look at the author and the finisher of your faith. Look at the one who already knows the end from the beginning. He already knows the last chapter. So we rest in you, Lord. We hope in you. We have peace in you. We can actually live rested. We live rested in you. Maybe for some of you, you do a lot. You have a lot going on. You have many jobs. You have many tasks. You have many roles, and you have much responsibility. Can I just tell you that this is how you hack the whole game right here? You live rested. Oh, we have so much strength to do this life. We have so much strength to live this way. Our hope is in you. Our rest is in you. We breathe in your goodness. Philippians 1:6. For I am sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you, he will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you've initiated something in every single heart that's hearing this. You've done something. You've started a good thing. And maybe we check in and it doesn't look like it's going too well right now. Hey, don't quit mid-story. You have a perfect author who's penning the script of your life. He has a plan. He has a purpose. Even over our nation, he is marching out his script. He has a plan that he is walking out. And he's a perfect storyteller. And he's going to write a good story with your life. Philippians 3:14, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen our spines to stand. God, I know what's coming this week, and I need to be able to stand tall. God, I know some hard conversations that are coming, and I pray for your conviction. I press on. Lord, I pray that I would not shrink back, that I would not live in coward fear, but humbly and with confidence, I would press on to everything that you have called me to, Lord. Lord, I pray over this church family, over Fairmount Friends, that we press on to the hope of our calling, for why you planted us in this community. We press on. We don't look to the right or to the left, but we fix our focus on what you've called us to. And it's an upward calling of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'll read one more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. For there is an inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith you're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of a greater worth than gold, which perishes even though fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's works impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Church family, you can live like this. You can start every day like this. And if we're not, we're missing out on a big experiential Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that we get to just spend some good, soaking and saturating time. Jesus, I ask you that you would calm all fears, replace it with joy. I pray that you would calm all anxieties and replace it with rest. God, I pray that you would help our hearts be intentional just to carve out some time to be with you. Whether it's the morning, it's the evening, it's a lunchtime, it's the middle of the day, it's even if it's just for a moment, let us get a moment with you, Lord. My gosh, we love you, Jesus. And in your name, we pray. Amen and amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.